and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of August 12th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley. Alongside me is the lovely, talented, and sleepy Melissa Hansen.
I am. If I just start yawning, you know, I'll pause those in advance. If I nod off, somebody yell.
Hello, are you still there? What has your week in entertainment been like?
I actually watched Red State.
Ooh, the Kevin Smith movie.
Kevin Smith's quote, horror movie.
Yes.
Okay, it's not a horror movie.
Oh.
And I wanted to watch a little bit. I'm not a huge horror fan.
No.
I've seen some, like, Freddy Krueger ones and Scream and a couple random, but I'm not a big fan, which, like I said, didn't matter because this is not a horror movie. Oh. And that's how it really got. I don't know who first billed it like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if Kevin came out. I think he came out and said, or if other people said it first, but it's a social commentary movie.
Okay.
With a few shots that are really gross.
All right.
And the basic premise, which gets completely lost.
Oh.
Sounds kind of like a horror movie.
Okay.
It's a Westboro Baptist Church-ish church.
Okay.
Small town. It's led by the father, grandfather. Everybody in it is a family member. They go out and hold all the big signs at funerals, kind of thing.
Yep.
Well, there's not that many funerals in the area.
No.
You know, gay people and perverts and all these, you know, that they can blame for everything. So they need to cause a few more funerals.
Oh, my.
Of, you know, perverts.
All right.
I think that sounds like a great premise for a horror movie.
All right.
Why they're killing people.
The justification for
protest
it.
Protest their funeral.
Jeez.
That premise gets completely lost.
Oh.
Kind of thing. Like, not the killing, but, like, why they're doing it. And then you're like, well, wait, are they doing it to cleanse the world? Or are they doing it for publicity? Are they, whatever. So, it's this family. It's these, like, kind of young, like, teenage boys. And they're getting kidnapped by them. And they're going to kill them. And all this. And then it's even confusing. It's kind of straightforward, but I don't want to give too much away either.
All right.
Anyhow, so local sheriff kind of finds out something's going on, but they have the dirt on him.
Ooh.
So he can't just go in because they're going to tell everybody what a pervert he is.
Okay.
And the sheriff's played by Stephen Root.
No.
Yeah. So anyhow, so he ends up contacting, like, ATF.
Okay.
And they already have been watching them because they think they have firearms.
Mm.
So you get this mix of Westboro Baptist Church and Waco.
Huh.
Kind of thing. Anyhow, John Goodman plays the top ATF guy.
Oh.
And so they're going to go in and raid, and they don't know what's going on. They just know they have firearms. They don't know that they're, like, kidnapping, killing people.
Gotcha.
Whatever. So everything goes to hell. So first of all, of course, it's this huge commentary, not just on, like, religion, but on, like, blindly following things.
All right.
Right. But then it becomes this whole commentary kind of on the government and how we're handling terrorism and things like that. I didn't hate it. That's not a ringing endorsement. I know.
Yeah.
It was interesting. It was slightly boring. It was disjointed.
So is it Kevin stepping outside his comfort zone?
In some ways.
All right.
There's this whole, like, the commentary, you see who's making a dogma, return some.
All right.
So it's an interesting movie. Gosh, I don't even know. The thing is, there's actually, like, Kevin Pollak's in it. Mark Lucas is in it.
Oh.
And they're not in it very long, shall we say.
Okay. All right.
But the acting is great. Like, Melissa Leo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, one of the big leads.
All right.
She's one of the daughters, but she's, like, luring, you know, people kind of into this. And Michael Parks, who I didn't really recognize, but he has been in the business forever.
Character actor.
Yeah, but he did, like, you know, he was on The Real McCoys and Gunsmoke and Perry Mason and Ben Casey and all that kind of stuff.
All right.
And recently he has worked. He did the Grindhouse.
Oh.
Movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Death Proof and Planet Terror.
Yeah, yeah.
He was actually in, he had a small role in, like, Django Unchained.
Oh.
Things like that. So anyhow, so he's been working with, like, Tarantino and Rodriguez and stuff.
All right.
Lately, he played the head of the church, and he was freaking amazing. I was like, shit, if he were real, I would consider joining this church. Just so charismatic and bringing he was really amazing in this movie. And then Jen Schwalbach was in it, and I actually didn't recognize her.
Really?
She had dark hair and bangs, and she was kind of plain.
Huh.
Okay. But what I watched after this, which if you watch this,
yes,
go watch Kevin Smith, Burn in Hell.
All right.
It's one of his, he's released a bunch of these. He goes and does Q&As.
Yes.
Where he answers about three questions, because his answers are stories that are half hour long.
I know, right?
Right. So, but he did this one right after that, and he talks a lot about the protests in Westboro Baptist Church.
Okay.
Because although it is a separate church, he actually mentions them and how they're different from this church, because Fred Phelps just, like, sues everybody. They use the law on their side. They don't kill people. Right. They just sue people. But he had massive interactions with them, because they came to all the screenings and were protesting. But very interesting stuff about that.
Huh.
And very interesting about how he wrote it and the process he went through. He produced a documentary called Small Town Gay Bar.
Yes, with Malcolm.
Mm-hmm. And so he was telling Malcolm, you should make a real movie. So Malcolm had Malcolm interviewed Fred Phelps and had showed Kevin the extended, complete interview.
Mm.
And Kevin's like, you should do an actual movie about this. Malcolm's like, I'm not going to do it. Kevin's like, fine, I'll do it. And he talks about his writing process, that every time he got to a point in his writing where he knew what he was going to write next,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, like, the audience would knew what was going to happen next,
yeah.
just completely started writing something different.
Hmm.
And this is what I think, why it's disjointed, but
yeah.
it's also you never are sure what's going to happen next, which is good.
Now, keep in mind, too, this is about the same time that Kevin switched from cigarettes to marijuana.
And he discusses that.
Okay.
And people ask how he gets ever so much done. One of the questions is, how does he get so much done?
Yeah.
And he's like, because I smoke a lot of pot.
Yeah.
But anyhow, if you watch, I mean, and I think for movie making, it's interesting if you're going to, like, dissect the movie
yeah.
and what's wrong with it. I think it's interesting for, like, movie makers or people very interested in film to watch Red State.
All right.
And again, it is something different from him. And it was also, if you go read about it then and how it was, like, produced and how it distributed.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
All right.
It's an interesting movie-making story. And like I said, you've got to go watch Burn in Hell's Q&A, where he talks about, A, how he wrote it, and B, the whole Westboro Baptist Church thing.
All right.
That makes it interesting. Them together is an interesting thing.
All right. And is this
on its own?
Okay.
So,
and this is a Netflix thing? They're both are they both available on Netflix?
Yes, they're both on Netflix.
Okay.
Cool. So
we can check it out. Well,
talk about it before you got something better, I'm sure.
Well, no, I mean, in the midst of getting this show up and running, we're doing it on Golden Pond. My castmates started watching the Netflix original series Orange is the New Black.
No.
And I've been so busy with other things, I have not kept up with them. And they're like, this is your homework, because we're now on a two-week hiatus for the show. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you have to start watching this so we can talk about it.
Yes.
So I did. I started. I'm four episodes in, and this is a phenomenal series.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about it. I've not watched it yet.
Like House of Cards and Arrested Development, they released all 13 episodes at the same time, so you can consume them at will. It is an independent production with actors who are working actors, but not, excuse me, not high profile, you know, A-list actors.
Right.
But phenomenally written, beautifully edited, because this is a story of a young woman who had a girlfriend right out of college. That new love, kind of edgy lesbian relationship, you know, she hasn't really come to terms with her sexuality. And this isn't a big part of the show. I'm just setting this up.
Okay.
She wasn't sure who she was sexually. And she met this very charismatic woman played by Laura Prepon from That 70s Show.
Mm-hmm.
and they started dating. Well, it turns out that she was a drug runner for a major cartel, and she would travel the world and hand off more money than it was drugs.
Right.
And they wound up – she left. They wound up splitting up, and she left. Well, 10 years later, this whole cartel gets busted, and she gets taken down, and she gets named – this Teresa Schilling, who plays the lead actress, mm-hmm. gets named in this indictment and winds up going to prison for 15 months was her sentence for being an accessory to this.
Okay.
So here she's got this whole new life with a guy played by Jason Biggs from American Pie, who she's about to marry, and then she gets slammed and caught in this whole – and. You know, ATF and all those guys came down hard on these people, and this was her sentence. So she has to turn herself in to this women's prison in upstate New York.
Okay.
And this you know, little lily white suburban girl who gets thrust into this entire new world.
Yes.
The characters in this are unbelievable. It's not Oz, which was the HBO show.
Right, right.
You know, with Chris Maloney. And Terry Kinney from Steppenwolf. But there is enough here to make these. Kate Mulgrew, who was Captain Janeway on Voyager, was Mrs. Columbo after the Peter Falk series ended. She plays this Russian woman, and there are all these individual stories that how we find, like Chicago, like the play right. Chicago, how we find out how each of these women had these. It's like peeling an onion.
Right.
So you get to find out how each of these women got to where they were and became what they are and what this new social network is, what this world is like and how these women operate. And because they run everything. Kate Mulgrew runs the kitchen, but she's in for something which we don't completely know yet.
Okay.
There's a transgendered character.
I have actually read about this.
But I think it's played by a real woman, not a transgendered woman.
No,
correct?
It's played by a trans woman.
Oh, okay. I hadn't known. We were trying to figure that out.
It meaning the character.
Yes.
Not a trans person.
Right.
I should have worded that better.
All right.
The character is played by a trans.
Okay. All right. We weren't sure about that. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't done enough research. And that makes sense. But they're very well-defined, very extremely well-written, and very well-performed characters that make this world so real, so palpable. And the writing here is addictive. You want to see what the next episode is. So they're 57 minutes when it's done. Like Netflix immediately clicks to the next one. You don't want to shut it off because you want to see what happens.
It's interesting because it's the way I've picked up on it from the picture and maybe just the title and stuff is more funny.
There is a lot of humor in it, but there are some really dark turns.
Right.
That keep you off balance.
It seems very realistic.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be this, oh, look at this funny little, you know, pretty girl in prison. Like,
oh no.
It was going to be played joke-wise. Is what I picked up just from maybe, like, the marketing on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. She offends the cook on her first day in prison. Mm-hmm. And the cook says, well, guess what? You're not going to eat.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to allow you to have anything. And the guards are, you know... They don't want to be involved in anything. The prisoners basically run the...
Do you think they get paid enough to be risking?
Hell no.
Life and limb?
No. And it's just a fascinating world to spend time in because you never know what's going to happen next. And, you know, for these actors, this is rich stuff for actors to play. And I don't know what the budget on this is, but it doesn't matter because they've created this world that is... so tangible and so fascinating that, hey, this is the new Hollywood, right? So anybody can come up with a great script and put together a great production team to go to something like Amazon is starting to produce original series now, mm-hmm. Netflix. You don't have to go through the network's, you know, machine. And we see how often shows get pulled and jerked around. Kathy Bates was slamming the other day NBC for her show.
Yeah.
That they got jerked around and never got a chance to find an audience. Well, here's a new outlet. And I'm really impressed with this because there are a lot of very talented people who now get to tell stories that never would have been told before.
Yeah.
So if you have access to Netflix, I highly suggest you go and it is not for the squeamish, right? There's okay. a lot of nudity in this. There's a lot of sexual situations. There's a lot of things that you would not see in mainstream movies or television. Yeah. So know that going into it, but also know that this is a compelling story.
Right.
And very exceptional filmmaking.
Yeah, it's not just for the flash.
No.
It pushes the story forward.
Yes. Yeah. There's nothing gratuitous here for the sake of just shock value.
Okay. Wow. All right. I will have to check that one out then.
Yep. Box office this past week, we are really trailing off now this summer. But
up a little bit from the past couple of weeks. Elysium, $30 million.
All right.
Which is a little bit higher, but not a big summer opener. It's still summer. Yeah. Not so good. We're the Millers, $26.5 million. Mm-hmm. Planes, $22.5 million. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, $14.5 million. Two Guns hanging in there with $11 million. So, and Smurfs not doing well, which makes me slightly happy.
But the funny thing is, overseas, it's doing gangbusters.
Oh, of course it is.
So, I mean, these days, Hollywood studio execs are so happy with the international returns that they can live with a film that doesn't do well domestically.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so many other ways to make money off them that, just domestic box office doesn't matter.
No, not anymore. Coming up next week, we've got three movies of note. Kick-Ass 2, which is produced by Matthew Vaughn, but directed by Jeff Wadlow. I did not see the first one. Did you?
I did not appreciate it.
Okay. All right.
It disturbed me. It did not entertain me.
All right.
I did not appreciate it.
Okay. So Nicolas Cage, I think, is the only member of that original cast which is not back.
And
But Jim Carrey steps into a similar role.
Yeah, it's Kick-Ass and Hit Girl are back.
Okay.
Yeah, Jim Carrey has gotten in trouble because he's said things basically like, you know what, I've rethought it and I wouldn't have made this movie.
Ooh.
It's, you know, with violence in our society and he said some negative things, not about the movie, not about the people with it, just like his own personal, like, second thoughts about doing this movie.
Interesting. Well, that opens on Friday. We've got Lee Daniels, The Butler, which follows Forrest Whitaker's character through his service to six different presidents. Oprah plays Forrest Whitaker's wife in this, which should be interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting cast because you have these historical figures.
Yes.
And you have all these presidents.
John Cusack is playing Richard Nixon.
Nice.
It'll be interesting to see how. And Lee is a fantastic filmmaker, so I'm really curious. I want to see this. And then we've got Paranoia, which is Liam Hemsworth playing a hotshot college grad who's caught between two rival high-tech CEOs played by Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford.
Ooh.
So the trailer for this looks compelling, but my fear is that it's more flash than substance.
Yeah.
But we shall see. If you are not heading to the box office this week, coming to DVD and Blu-ray, if you go to DVDverdict.com, the upcoming releases page, Olympus Has Fallen with Morgan Freeman about another presidency, another attack on the White House. We've got Once Upon a Time Season 2, which is the ABC series. Coming back this fall for Season 3. Did you watch all of Season 2?
I did. I watched it like while I was cleaning the house or doing work or stuff because I really got bored with it.
Better than the first season? Worse than the first season?
Well, it's kind of boring now to me. All like, there were certain newer characters getting their kind of backstory. It was kind of interesting, but overall... And Jennifer Goodwin's, like, driving me crazy.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty much...
You're over it.
Over.
All right. The Muppet Movie, the original 1979, comes to Blu-ray this week, and believe me, it holds up. I reviewed The Muppets, you know, the reboot movie.
Right.
And I enjoyed it, but, you know, it's lacking that magic that you see everywhere in this movie. And this was a family. This was Jim Henson and Frank Oz and Jerry Nelson and Dave Goles and Richard Hunt. These guys were a family. Mm-hmm. And you see that in every frame of this film.
Yeah.
And it looks great on Blu-ray. The picture isn't as stellar as some other Blu-rays, you know, conversions that we've seen as of late, but it sounds phenomenal. The mix is great. And my disappointment is that there is not enough. They could have done retrospective stuff. They didn't do any interviews with the surviving members of that original Jim Henson crew. The only real bonus feature here is a 17-minute production test in which they went out. They were filming The Muppet Show in London because that's how they got the financing to do the show.
Right.
And they were out on the English countryside, and they, Jim and Frank and director Jim Frawley and some of the staff went out and just shot different things around the English countryside to see how the Muppets would look, because they had never been outside the studio before.
Real life, like, how are we going to do this?
Right. So they tried all sorts of things, and they're basically riffing off of each other.
Oh,
which is
that's cool.
Oh, it's so phenomenal. And the great thing is some of those riffs wound up in the script in the film.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's worth its weight in gold. But I would have loved to have seen some kind of retrospective, some kind of documentary, some kind of commentary. Because so much of that is lost.
Right. And there's plenty of stuff out there. And there's plenty of people to talk about
it. Oh, there has to be.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's coming out this week. Quickly, Emperor. Tommy Lee Jones as General MacArthur. We've got Big Wedding, the romantic comedy with Robert De Niro and Diane Keaton. Mm-hmm. And The Company You Keep, which is the political thriller starring Robert Redford and Shia LaBeouf, or Shia LaDouche, if you'd like to say.
That's for beef.
Yeah. Over at Redbox, we've got Admission with Tina Fey and Paul Rudd, Mud with Matthew McConaughey and Reese Witherspoon, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Amy Berg's documentary West of Memphis, which dealt with those eight kids who were supposedly wrongly accused.
Three.
How many?
The West Memphis Three.
Oh, West Memphis Three, sorry. And then for the kids, we've got Lego Batman the Movie.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is basically cut scenes from the animated, from the video game.
All right, then.
At Netflix, you've got Do the Right Thing, Spike Lee's incredibly compelling movie. Tom Cruise in both Far and Away and Born on the 4th of July.
All right.
James Cameron's Titanic, and all the Bond movies are back for a limited time.
Ooh, nice.
So jump on that, because it's usually only a week or two that they're here and then they're gone again.
Yeah. Okay.
At Hulu, you know, Hulu continues to, it's great for television, right? And I think that's why it was set up for streaming television.
Right.
But it continues to be the home of weird movies you've never heard of, starring familiar actors who you never knew did these movies.
Yes.
Robert Mitchum and Wilford Brimley in Thompson's Last Run.
Okay.
Marlo Thomas, Ali Sheedy, and Mel Harris in Ultimate Betrayal.
Wow. All right, then.
Leah Thompson in The Unspoken Truth. She's like some convicted killer or something. And Daniel Craig in Flashbacks of a Fool.
Okay.
So
well, these movies need a home. Thank you, Hulu.
Yes, thank you,
Hulu. Not out starving in the rain.
That's all I've got for streaming this week.
All right. It's reality TV this week.
Oh, boy.
Mainly a couple other things, especially next Sunday. But anyhow, Monday night, CMA Music Festival. And watch all your country music favorites.
Woo-hoo.
And Real Housewives of Miami is back on Bravo.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, they're everywhere. Right. There's Real Housewives everywhere. Yeah. So Miami Winds are back, and then Hotel Impossible is back on Travel Channel. Tuesday, The Little Couple is back on TLC, and they have a baby now. Yay! Okay. Wednesday, Duck Dynasty season premiere on A&E. Let's see. Oh, here's something that's not reality. Franklin and Bash, finale on TNT. Y'all have to let me know how Heather Locklear did. Because I didn't watch it yet. Friday, Mysteries at the Museum. on Travel Channel. It's back on. That one's kind of interesting. They do, like, actual artifacts in museums. They go and kind of tell a story about it.
Nice.
So, kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, musical fans. Saturday, ABC is showing Mamma Mia.
Oh.
So, if you didn't catch that, I think for free is probably the best way to catch it.
I saw it with a group of actors who were primarily gay.
Yeah, I'm sure you had fun.
They loved it.
I watched it with my mother. Didn't love it so much. Okay. Weather Channel, back to reality here, has a new series called Breaking Ice.
Yep.
It's about the big ice-breaking ships in the Arctic and Antarctic.
All right.
So they're joining in to, you know, the craze, the TV craze. Sunday, CMT is also joining. There's a new series called Tattoo Titans. It's like a competition with tattoo artists. All right, Great Food Truck Race is back on Food Channel, and then non-reality, True Blood finale on HBO. And then, I don't know to classify this into reality or horror or what, but Oprah's doing our Lindsay Lohan interview on OWN next Sunday night.
And they're still not committing to this reality TV series yet.
Yeah.
They keep asking them, and they're like, well, we're working out the details.
Uh-huh. Well, they're working to see how big this is, and if it's huge, then they'll give her a show.
Right, exactly.
So, if y'all don't want Lindsay Lohan to have her own show, and, you know, the apocalypse to start, don't watch it.
Oh, boy.
All right. Music. Country Week. Totally. Luke Bryan, the rising star in country music.
Hmm.
His Crash My Party is finally out. That single's been out forever. Glenn Campbell. It's some re-recordings of his classics.
Huh.
It's very cool. It's called See You There. And then Life Magazine has partnered with Sony Music, and they're releasing Life Unheard, which is music, and then Life Unseen, which is photographs.
So
it's books and CDs you can pick up, and they're releasing one on Johnny Cash.
Mm.
And it's all kinds of like stuff from the vaults of Sony Music. That's been unearthed, whatever. But it's all kinds of live performances and things like that that haven't been released before.
Okay.
Yeah. Books. It's like nonfiction week.
Mm.
Unbeatable. Notre Dame's 1988 championship and the last great college football season.
Huh.
Jerry Barca, who went to Notre Dame.
Oh, all right.
Later on, but he worked at an athletic department, and he's a journalist for Sports Illustrated now. So he's kind of got the inside scoop on that. NAACP, Youth and the Fight for the Black Freedom, 1936 to 1965. Slightly specific there, but I'm sure interesting. Is out. And then Mark, I don't know if it's Levin or Levin, the Liberty Amendments, Restoring the American Republic, because I don't listen to him. He's a conservative talk radio.
Ah, gotcha.
But very interesting. George Orwell, A Life in Letters.
Ooh.
His letters that have been found.
Huh.
And Peter Davison is the editor on that. So.
All right.
In theater news, Longacre Theater this weekend just opened. It's a new musical comedy called First Date.
Okay.
Which is about, you know, first dates.
Sure.
But Krista Rodriguez, who was on Smash, was in it. She was kind of the secondary. She was the original villain. Those of you that watched it, kind of short, dark hair, original villain in the show, fake show that we're doing.
Yes.
Kind of thing. Very talented. Very, very talented. But her co-star is Zachary Levi.
Oh, no kidding.
From Chuck.
Wow.
Who knew he could sing?
Well, good for him.
Obviously, well, hopefully he can. Or
well, he did in Disney's Tangled.
He did. You're right. I did not see that, but I forgot he was in that. Mm-hmm. And that's musical. So anyhow, if you're missing Chuck or want the musical version of it, you can head out to the theater.
All right. Well, entertainment news is going to tie into that Disney theme because Disney's annual D23 fan convention was held last weekend at the Anaheim Convention Center. And teased out many of the company's upcoming projects, including Angelina Jolie's Maleficent, the next Muppet movie, Muppets Most Wanted, ABC's Halloween special, Toy Story of Terror, produced by Pixar.
Okay.
Yep, which should be fun. Pete Doctor's Inside Out, which is coming next year, which follows a battling set of emotions inside the human mind.
Okay.
And the voices for this are provided by Amy Poehler, Bill Hader, Mindy Kaling, and Phyllis from The Office.
Nice. I swear I hear Bill Hader's name and I just start chuckling.
No, right.
I don't know what it is about him that's just, I find so hysterical.
Oh my God.
I adore him. Okay. Very cool.
So while they're promoting all of this great stuff, the company is also expected to suffer a $200 million loss on the Lone Ranger, which may very well strip producer Jerry Bruckheimer of his final cut approval on Pirates of the Caribbean 5, which is currently in pre-production.
Yeah, because that's why people won't see it.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, either we're going to see it or we're not going to see it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the final movie is actually like.
I know. Bruckheimer and Johnny Depp have both vocally lambasted broadcast, print, and blogosphere critics for burying the movie before audience ever got a chance to see it and decide for themselves. And like I said, the same thing happened with John Carter. And once it was discovered on DVD and Blu-ray, people began to realize, you know what? This is a pretty damn good movie.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Again, like we were saying before, there's lots of ways for things, for movies to make money.
Yes.
So.
In a story you sent to me, because the orca whale attack at SeaWorld this past year, the resulting discussion of whether or not these creatures should be raised in captivity has been a primary concern for a lot of animal rights activists. But Pixar's upcoming sequel, Finding Dory, has rewritten its final act such that the cast does not wind up at a marine park as originally intended.
Good.
Now, this movie doesn't hit theaters until 2016, but Pixar is well known for modifying storylines well into the development process.
Yeah.
So, don't be surprised if the story changes even further from this, because, I mean, that's just how they work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of time now. Sci-Fi has announced the title for the Sharknado sequel. Are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Sharknado 2, the second one. God, all right, this 15 minutes
is
way over.
You know what? I think that's probably a very appropriate title for a Sharknado movie. I think that probably its level of intelligence and class is the movie, so it works.
Yeah, well, they call lightning in a bottle, so they're going to milk it for everything it's worth.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Jay Leno's final episode of The Tonight Show, which is a sequel in and of itself, because we've been down this road before.
Wait, but do we already have one of those?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
It's set for February 6th. The show will then shift from Burbank, California to New York City as Jimmy Fallon takes over the show.
Yes, and then we get Seth Meyer.
Yes. This is correct. With 30 Rock over, Alec Baldwin is in talks with MSNBC to host a Friday night primetime talk show, much like Charles Grodin did in the network's early days.
Oh, I think he should. That'll be such a train wreck. It'll be fun to watch.
Can you imagine? And then in casting news, Billy Bob Thornton has been tapped to star in FX's 10-episode series Fargo, set in the world of the Coen brothers' films, but featuring none of those characters.
No.
So it's all new characters. Sam Rockwell is being courted to take on the Craig T. Nelson role in the reboot of Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Which is a movie that still is very disturbing to me, as it was when I was in sixth grade and caused me to not sleep for 2 weeks.
Aww. Bad.
Antonio Banderas and Mel Gibson have also signed on to Sylvester Stallone's Expendables 3, but I warn that the dangers of a big cast like this and very little for people to do could be a terrible, terrible movie. I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and Stallone wrote this himself, so, I mean.
Yeah, didn't he write, like, Copland?
Yeah,
he did. He wrote Rocky, too.
Yep, I know.
You hear that, and you're like, oh, my God. And you're like, wait a minute. Wait, he actually got started writing.
Yes, he did.
He's actually really freaking good at it.
He did. And Rambo, which was the latest of the Rambo films, which, you know, the elder Rambo went back to Vietnam, was actually pretty damn good from a writing standpoint. Steven Spielberg has jumped ship on Bradley Cooper's American Sniper, apparently because his vision for the film did not align with Warner Brothers' allotted budget. So he took his toys and went home.
Okay.
And Director Seth Gordon has bailed on the sequel Horrible Bosses 2 as his commitment to other projects like the ABC comedy The Goldbergs and the remake of Matthew Broderick's War Games will prevent him from meeting the studio's planned release date for the film.
Okay.
Okay, one more story. While Amazon and Netflix are battling for King of the Hill in the streaming media sphere, mm-hmm. Redbox is coming to the party with Redbox Instant, guns blazing, because they're bringing out all the video game console owners this fall. So people who own Xbox and PS3 and all that kind of stuff will be able to get in. So it's $8 a month, just like their competitors.
Right.
Instant access to all of their catalogs of movies, which ties more closely to DVD release dates.
Right.
And you get 4 free monthly rentals at any of their physical automated locations.
Yeah, that's nice.
So
they've got above and beyond.
This could be a dogfight.
Yep.
All right. That's all I got for news.
All right. Well, in the Kardashian world,
yes.
Actually, a few things. But Chris is picking a fight with President Obama. And
what?
Yeah, that wasn't even going to be my big one. He said something. He was talking about our world today kind of thing and how it's all about having things and money and whatever. And he mentioned the Kardashians and he mentioned Kanye West. And he actually didn't say anything negative about them.
Okay.
It was just like our children see this
yes.
now and they want that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Chris went off about how Kimmy is so hardworking and blah, blah, blah.
Please, give me a break.
Anyhow, but the other big news is Courtney is being, I guess, sued by the man claiming to be Mason's father.
Oh.
It's a model she worked with, did a photo shoot with, and he's claiming that, quote, that I ejaculated inside Courtney's vagina. It's a few words that in legal papers. And then 9 months later, she had Mason. And so he is suing for a paternity test.
Wow. You think
so
that's going to...
He is actually Mason's father.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's a hearing next month whether or not...
they'll go ahead with the DNA test.
The judge will actually make her do a paternity test.
All right.
But the other interesting thing is this. Courtney's lawyer in this matter
yeah.
is Sean Holly.
Lindsay Lohan's old lawyer.
Yep.
Oh, geez.
So anyhow, I'll keep you updated on that if poor little Mason has to
yikes.
Prove who his daddy is.
Oh, boy. Do we have a contest this week?
We do. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Not to say our other ones aren't.
No.
Oblivion. Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
And it's like a whole package of stuff we're giving away.
It is. It's Cowboys and Aliens. It's the Adjustment Bureau. There's four. Yeah. Battleship is the other one.
Like, yeah. Whole,
yeah.
whole bunch in one. This is a big one, people.
Yep. So you can register for that at dvdverdict.com/contest. And it's a very simple process. Just put in your name, your email address, and...
And I will not harass you or stalk you, I promise.
No, we don't do stuff like that.
you can send me a personal email then. Maybe we can work something out.
Okay. All right. And on that note, we will wrap up this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, thank you for reading our reviews at dvdverdict.com. And until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
To a place where I am blinded by the light. But it's not right. Goodbye to you.